Open your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians
chapter 5. I'd like to take the time tonight to carry on with just a couple of more verses here from our text this morning. What an incredible truth that he died and rose again. Most of you have grown up hearing that truth so long, it seems to lose its luster, but we need to not forget what an incredible thing it is that God himself became a man, that God himself gave his life for man, and then he took his life up again. And what a wonderful thing. And we think about those who would mock the scriptures and say that it's all made up. Listen, the disciples didn't believe it. The disciples were surprised. The disciples didn't know what to think when the tomb was empty. And until they saw the risen Savior, many of them really didn't get it. And so we need to understand that God's word is true. We can trust it today. And I want you to know that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is transforming and changes us. And there, this is certainly not exhaustive, but there are three ways that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ changes us that we're going to talk about. Obviously, it changes our eternal destiny. When you repent of your sin and trust in Christ, you get a new address. It's no longer hell and the lake of fire for you. Now it's heaven. And obviously, that's the greatest. We know that he gives us a new heart. We know he puts a spirit within us. But the change is wholesale. It's not just a little bit of change. He changes us completely. And we want to see that a little bit tonight. Let's stand together, if you're able. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll pick up again at verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, or to know, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace, we thank you that we have the privilege to come and to sing your praises, to worship you in freedom tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would help us now as we look into your word to rightly divide the word of truth, that you'd speak to our hearts, Lord, and that you would continue to change us, to help us by your grace to put off the old man and to put on the new man, to be what you'd have us to be in Christ. Lord, help us tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. So we studied this morning about the fact that Jesus Christ died for all. It's clear, indisputable fact of Scripture that Jesus died for all. His death was comprehensive. And because of that truth, because he died for all, that means that all were dead. Every person is dead in their trespasses and sins, but he has the heart to save us. He loves us so much, he died to save everyone. And we learned about two conclusions. Paul said, we thus judge, we make a conclusion, we make a determination because of this. First, everyone was dead spiritually. And secondly, some people are alive through Christ, and because they're alive through Christ, they ought to live for the one who died for them and rose again. And now we look at verse 16, and there's another word, wherefore. Because of what he's just told us, because Christ died for all, because all were dead, but because those who are alive in Christ ought to, from that moment on, live for Christ who died for them and rose again. Because of that, wherefore, from this moment on, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Now, that could be a very confusing verse, but I want you to know that Jesus not only changes your heart, he not only gives you a new spirit, he not only gives you a new home in heaven, but he also gives you a new mind. God changes the way we think when we get saved. And we've talked about this a lot. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. The way we fight this spiritual war many times is not spiritually in our thinking, but it's actually mentally. So much of what we have to do in this Christian life, in living for the one who died for us and rose again, is to get our mind right. But God has given us a new mind. He has given us wisdom, and he's put a new mind in us. He's changed the way we think. Now, look at verse 16. He's telling us, we know no man after the flesh. The way that we even know other people now is changed because of what the Lord has done. Now, let's be honest. We'll have a little honesty check tonight. When you see someone, do you or do you not make judgments about them based on the way they look to you? Yeah. It doesn't matter how many times they tell you, don't judge a book by its cover. That's exactly what we do, right? We judge people based on the way they dress, based on the color of their skin, based on the place they live, based on whether they look clean or whether they look dirty. I mean, we judge people so quickly by the way that they look. But something happened in me when I was born again. And as I grow in Christ, he continues to change my mind. Listen, I used to never think this way. But now when I see people, I see someone that Jesus Christ died for. See, this is all based on what we just learned. Because Christ died for all, because all are dead, now I don't know people the way I used to in my flesh. It's not a fleshly knowing them. It's not a thinking of them or esteeming them. This word know here is a different word for know. It's not knowledge, gnosis, like we normally think of knowledge or the word know. This word means to make a judgment. It's an esteeming someone. And we don't esteem people in the flesh anymore. Now we esteem them in the spirit. We look at people differently now when we're saved. Listen, when I see people who are atheists and hate God and spew out all this venom at God, I don't judge them the way I used to. Now I pity them. My heart breaks for them. Listen, we go out door knocking and somebody hears the word church and they slam the door in our face and say, get out of here. That doesn't make me angry at them. It breaks my heart for them. I don't think about them the way that I used to. He's changed my mind. Now that happens when we know Christ, when we're born again. But it's a continual process. Putting off our old way of thinking and putting on a biblical way of thinking is a process that's going to continue. And he continues to change our mind. Listen, brace yourself. God still wants to change your mind. Now, some of you don't like that. Amen? Now, there's some of you fellas in here ought to be amening right now. You don't like that. But I'm telling you right now that you and I have a mind that needs to be changed. We need to stop esteeming other men in the flesh, thinking of them, judging them by the flesh, and start thinking spiritually about other people. He also says that we don't know. Now, this is the way it's worded. Man can mess you up. Look, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Now, if you just take this last part, you go, we don't know Jesus anymore? That doesn't make sense. You're right. That doesn't make sense. And if the plain sense doesn't make sense, then you need to seek some other sense. Okay, so he's saying that we know men in a different way. We don't understand or esteem men after the flesh anymore. The same thing's true of Christ. The way we used to think about Jesus is different after we're saved. I want you to think biblically about how, you remember the Apostle Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He sat and learned at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the most renowned rabbis of his day. He had a way he thought about this Jesus of Nazareth, and he had a way he thought about Messiah. And when Jesus came, Jesus didn't match up to what they were expecting. Jesus wasn't what they thought he would be. And so Jesus didn't match up. I mean, they thought, surely Messiah, if he's going to come, he's going to just buddy up to us. He's going to want to be with one of us. He's going to hang out with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He's going to bring himself in and be part of the Sanhedrin. He's not going to be out there with the publicans and sinners. You see, they knew Jesus after the flesh, and they were wrong. The same thing's true today. I want you to listen to me. What most people in our community know about Jesus is simply not true. This idea of who Jesus is in American Christianity today is so unbiblical, it's nauseating. People are saying things about Jesus all the time, and it sounds so spiritual, and it sounds so good, and it sounds so loving, and it's simply not true. People in America today have a Jesus that only loves and he'll never judge, but we read in the Bible that God has given all judgment to the Son. I'm just telling you that so many times our thinking in the flesh about who Jesus is not right. But when you get saved, you learn something different about him. You see, when Christ died on the cross and rose again, all the judgment was given to him because he fulfilled the law and the prophets. He fulfilled everything the divine justice of God requires for the sins of mankind. He did it all. My perception of Jesus changed the day I was saved. And my perception of Jesus changes continually as we go on. Now, a lot of people look at this verse and say, we have known Christ after the flesh. They say, well, did Saul of Tarsus know Jesus in the physical flesh? Did he know him before? And it's possible. Jesus certainly had a lot of interactions with the Pharisees, didn't he? It's possible. It doesn't seem likely to me. It seems like more of that would be brought out in Scripture if that was the case. I think it's just more of what exactly we're talking about. It's more of that idea of who they thought Jesus would be, and he wasn't. People have a preconceived idea who Jesus is. He wasn't what the Jewish leaders expected. He isn't what pop culture presents him to be. Too many people today think Jesus is just a myth. Their idea of who he is couldn't be further from the truth. Now, we know him differently. How do I know him differently? Because when I was born again and when you were born again, he put his spirit inside of us. And the Holy Spirit of God teaches us and guides us into all truth. He brings to remembrance the things that we've learned of God. And now we know him in a spiritual way because the things of God are spiritually discerned. They're just things that people aren't going to understand about the Lord unless they know the Lord. He doesn't reveal himself to those who don't believe in him. And as you trust him, you know him. Our mind is changed because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not only is our mind changed, but our makeup is changed, the way that we're built. Now, when I said makeup, I'm not talking about that war paint you ladies put on your face. I'm talking about our DNA, our spiritual makeup is changed by the Lord. Our spiritual makeup, how we're put together. Look at verse 17. Therefore, oh, and as a side note, stop putting your makeup on while you're driving down the road, okay? Just stop. Stop. You're going to kill somebody or put an eye out of both, okay? All right, that was for free. That's what we call a public service announcement. All right. I can't believe Mike's the only one in here that amen that. That's what I'm really surprised by. The rest of you are asleep or afraid. All right, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, I want you to look at it with me, please. Therefore, because Jesus died and rose again because we were dead, but now we're alive in Christ if we're born again. Because he's given us a new mind, a new way of thinking, we need to understand if we're in Christ, we are a new creature. Now, old things are, what's those two words? Old things are what? Passed away. What do we say when somebody dies? We say, if we want to be kind of soft, we say they passed away, right? Because it sounds harsh to say, well, they died. Does it? Sounds a little bit hard. It sounds a little nicer for us. We say passed away. What do we mean? We mean they died. I mean they're dead. That's what we mean. And we're not trying to be harsh. That's just the reality. I think it's interesting that we use that phrase for somebody who has died when that's exactly what the Bible says about the old things. Who I used to be, what I used to do, what I was without Christ, those things are passed away. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Our sinfulness, our sin nature, the old man, who I used to be without Christ, that's gone. It's passed away. It's dead. And everything is made new in Jesus. My heart is new. My spirit is new. My mind is new. My life and everything in my life is new in Christ. Now, some of you have been saved for a long time. How many of you got saved before you were 14 years old? Before you were 14? How many of you got saved after you were 14? Okay? It's about half and half. Most of you get saved early on. Most people are saved. Let me do this. How many of you got saved before you were 20? Before you were 20. I'll give you a second to calculate. How many of you were saved after you were 20? Yeah, that changed things quite a bit. Most of us get saved when we're younger. A lot of you were raised up in church and all those things. But I want to tell you, it doesn't matter whether you were a choir boy your whole life or whether you were a drunkard and fornicator and everything else and got saved later. Listen, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, and we have been gloriously saved by Jesus Christ. Okay, we don't always see such a dramatic difference. When you get saved when you're 7 and when you get saved when you're 70, you don't maybe see such a dramatic difference. But I'm going to tell you, a life is changed by Jesus. Amen. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I want you to notice there's a word in the middle of there. It says, behold. It means look. Give attention. This change in your life is visible. I'm not who I used to be. I'm a different person than I was before. God's word has the power to change people. John Wesley got robbed one night when he was going home from a service. As the thief was leaving, Wesley called out and said, stop! He just got robbed. And he yells out to the thief, he says, stop! I have something more to give you. Well, the thief stopped. He said, my friend, you may live to regret this sort of life. If you ever do, there's something to remember. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. The thief ran away, and Wesley prayed for him. Years later, John Wesley was greeting people after a service on a Sunday, and a stranger came by. Wesley was surprised to know that the visitor, now a Christian, now a successful businessman, was the one who had robbed him years before. And the thief told Wesley, I owe it all to you. And Wesley said, oh no, my friend. Not to me, but to the precious blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ changes us. A lot of time we talk about that transformation. We talk about that caterpillar that makes the cocoon. And inside that cocoon, it's an incredible and awesome thing that happens, because that caterpillar actually goes in with two different sets of DNA. It goes in with caterpillar DNA and butterfly DNA. But listen to me. The caterpillar DNA has to die before the butterfly DNA can come to life. It literally just kind of melts, disintegrates, and is reformed into something completely different. Right now, the caterpillars are crawling around. If you go outside, you're going to see them. They're everywhere. And there is an amazing transformation that takes place. Get this, friends. It's not just changed into something a little different. It is completely transformed from one thing into something completely different. And that's what Jesus Christ has done in you. And friends, we need to stop living like caterpillars. We need to stop living the old life, the old way, in the old things. We are new creatures in Christ. We're not who we used to be. That let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him work with his hands that thing which is good, that he may have to give to those that are in need. There ought to be a transformation. The thief is no longer a thief, but now he is a giver. And the liar doesn't use his lips to speak lies and bear false witness, but now he uses his words to speak truth and to speak the gospel of life into others. The fornicator becomes faithful. Listen, lives are changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what he's telling us. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And God doesn't want to just change a little bit of your life or most of your life. He changes all of your life. But let's be honest. How many want to hold on to something? When I was growing up, they used to call it a pet sin. I had to get one of you guys explain that to me one time. I don't understand that. Pet sin. I guess it's something you keep around the house and it stinks. Causes a bunch of mess and a lot of trouble. Maybe that's what it meant. People used to talk about your house and your heart being a home, like a house, and your heart was like a house. And a lot of people, it used to be a song, some people used to sing about that secret room where you didn't want Jesus in. Listen, I don't care what illustration you want to have, but the reality is Jesus wants to change all things, not some things. And we ought to give everything to him because he bought everything. He's changed our heart. He's changed our spirit. He's changed our mind. He's changed our very makeup. We're just not who we used to be. We're passed from death to life. And friends, it doesn't get any more different than that. There's no greater division than life and death. That's it. He's taken us from death and he's given us life. John Phillips talks about this illustration. I think it's really fitting. You guys remember how God saved the Israelites from Egypt? How he brought them out of bondage? You guys remember that? Amen. With me tonight still? Okay, you're like, it's Easter Sunday night, we're tired. Just stay with me. So they brought him out, but when they had the chance to go over to the promised land, he sent the spies over. They came back with an evil report, at least all of them but two. They believed the evil report, so they were punished by wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And after the wilderness wandering happened, they finally come. The day finally comes. They've been wandering around, and God has been faithful even though they haven't been, and he brings them to the place where they come to the river. Now that river Jordan comes. And you know where it ends? It ends in the Dead Sea. And there's a picture of death in that river. But you remember when the priests that were bearing the ark, when they came up to that river, as soon as they stepped into the river stopped and it built up on a heap and Israel passed through on dry ground. You remember? And then they did something weird. They picked up a rock on this side, one for each tribe. They picked up a rock. They carried that rock and put it down in the middle of the riverbed. Then they picked up a rock from the middle of the riverbed and they carried it over to the other side. They took something from death and it would be covered by death, and they brought something that would be brought from death and represent life. And when everybody passed through and the priest came out, the water flowed again. And all of their past sins, their past dead life was covered in death. Friends, when we come to Christ, his death, his sacrifice covers our sin. And out of that death, we are given new life. Isn't that a beautiful picture? He changed us. He's given us life. Not only has our mind changed, our makeup has changed, our spiritual DNA. We're born with a spiritual birth defect. We're spiritually dead, but through Christ, we're made alive. He gives us a new DNA spiritually. He gives us new life, but then he also changes our ministry. We got something to live for, friends. Verse 18 and 19, all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. We have been made right with God through Jesus, and he hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, or to know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, and he has given us the job, the ministry, the work of reconciling people to God. We are ministers of reconciliation. A minister is a servant or a slave. Jesus is our master, we are his slaves, and this is the business he wants us to be in, is bringing other people to God through Christ. And we can't save anybody, but we can be soul winners. We can bring people to Jesus so that they can cry out to him and he will save them. When you study your Bible, if you study the book of Acts, you'll see a lot of things about the way Paul preached and Peter and John and all the rest of them. But we see Paul preeminent throughout there or prominently throughout the book of Acts. But listen, as he goes through, as he preaches to people, we see him proclaiming, we see him preaching, we see him persuading, we see him reasoning, we see him disputing. It depended on who he was talking to, but I'm telling you, whatever it took, he did everything he could to convince people that they needed to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. God's given us a ministry to bring other people to Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we get a little intimidated by the atheists, evolutionists, people who seem to be so smart, and we worry that we don't know enough. I want to tell you this. The gospel doesn't change. It doesn't matter if you're giving the gospel to an 8-year-old in a Sunday school class, or if you're giving the gospel to an 80-year-old hard-hearted man who's never believed in God, listen to me, the gospel is the same. That little 8-year-old is a sinner and they need a Savior, and that 80-year-old is a sinner and he needs a Savior, and it's no different. But God has given us a ministry. He's given us a ministry to reconcile people. He has sent us as ambassadors to Christ. You can think of this church as an embassy. This place doesn't belong to this world. This place and these people of this place, we belong to God. We're part of a heavenly kingdom. And we're just part of this embassy, ambassadors being representing God's kingdom to a lost and dark world. And we need to have that mindset every time we go out. He's given us a new mind. We ought to go out with a changed life, understanding our job. It's good to have a job if you're able to work. It's good when you have a job to know what your job is. Anybody ever had a job and you really weren't sure what your job was? Like the job training just wasn't up to par. I have no idea what I'm supposed to be doing here. We don't have that problem in church. We know what our job is. And God has given us everything that we need to do that job. A lot of jobs you have in the world today, you don't know what your job is, you don't know how to do the job, and you don't have the right tools to carry it out. But that's not the way it is in God's house. He's given us the tools. He's given us the job description. He's given us everything that we need to go and be ministers of reconciliation. It's discouraging when you go somewhere, it's a service environment, and people don't do their job. It's frustrating. You just want people to do their job. Just do your job. Just do your job. And we get that frustration. But friends, listen, I wonder how frustrated the Lord is with us week in and week out when we go out of here and we don't do our job. We are to be ministers of reconciliation. I want you to think about what the Lord's done for you. Tonight, as we get ready for a verse of invitation, will you stand with me? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, when you are in Christ, it's not simply that you can draw a circle on the ground and say, all right, I'm inside the circle. He has us more than that. The scriptures give us the picture of Noah and his family in the ark. When they were in the ark, they weren't just encircled by it, they were ensphered by it. When God's wrath fell, when the rain fell, it did not touch them, it hit the ark. Friends, if you're in Christ, God's wrath hasn't touched you, it won't touch you. His wrath fell on his Son, Jesus Christ. Think about what he's done for you. And by his grace, let's go and be ministers of reconciliation for him. If there's anything on your heart tonight, a decision you need to make for Christ, to be saved, to be baptized, to get something right with him, whatever it is, will you come right now while we sing?
Page 521.
The Holy Spirit of God is convicting your heart right now. You come.